Identify what was missing in terms of the previous 10 years that we regard the exercise of evaluation in that light, that is part of the growing exercise and is part of our endeavors to build community. And we also then said very sort of that the fact that we will be able to engage with yourselves on the report and engage on issues of implications of the report, so that we are able to mutually inform each other and definitely benefit from your wisdom in terms of advising us the best way to handle A or B with regard to the report. If you haven't seen the report, it has sort of three basic recommendations. The first one is that the report is law. Anything will happen before you change the law. That we go to arts and culture. And then the other one is that absorbed into ourselves. And then the third process in that will be that we might create a superstructure for human rights organization. And so that the issue that we have to debate that is not only knee-jerk action to say whether that is right or wrong, but simply to assess that over again as the shepherd in us. But saying earlier, our favorite goal as a nation is where we move the money. And so that was the big thing. But other than that, we have been doing various programs and activities that the CEO needs to specify. But I think the issue of identity still looms large before most of us. I'm happy to report the fact that I was actually invited to Orania to go and present a paper on identity. And I think it's very significant, not only to talk about identity, but also that is in Orania. Because it begins to say something about the shift that are beginning to take place within the country, that we need to acknowledge. And yet also a point to the necessity to continually broaden the space for people to find their identity. Whether identity is located at the level of language, or identity is located at the level of culture, or is located at the level of religion, and how the two things sort of move towards each other. Now, part of our mandate in terms of the Act is to help deal with what is called community council. We have not been able to deal with this in the past year, again, because we were trying to work on this issue of identity and on how community councils should be constituted. In other words, how to reconstitute community councils while at the same time avoiding the traps of our past of ethnic ideologies and ethnic identities that we perpetuate the old ways of communicating. So that's what we say. But I'm happy to say that at the beginning of this current year, in fact, we actually then sent the minister to proceed to formulate regulations for the formation of community councils, so that these community councils become significant for us as we go into the last left of our the commission. You will remember that next year is the last year of the present commission. So I need to say that. We've also had the usual challenges of governance in terms of relationships between commissions and staff and so on, in terms of roles and functions. And in that regard, we actually then had the new formation that put ourselves through a strategic process in which we identify our focus areas and then we identify the key roles and functions, the differentiations and the overlaps between the key spheres of governance and commission. And then we also then invited, in fact, various people from Auditor General, from PPLG, etc., to come and share with us on this growth process that I'm talking about. But it has been a good human experience. And then lastly, we also have been able to connect with a larger processes. You will remember that the country was going through the APRM assessment process, and we have been part of that, as been directed by Minister Fraser Munithi. We have been part of that, and she actually sent us back the report to say we need to find a way to connect that in order to identify specifically cultural religious and linguistic issues and their impact on us as a nation and how we deal with those issues. We also dealt with the United Nations on indigenous communities and were working on that to try to help them. So with those sort of initial remarks, there are one or two other things that I think we'll pick up as we have the discussion. Let me give over to the CEO so that he can then give us the specifics of the things that we need.
Just to kick off by saying we are the unicorn child that has been brought into being to strengthen the policy of decentralization and specifically to make a significant contribution towards the identity formation of the community. This is a decision that provides for the constitution and the government, but among the other few institutions, we are the last one to have been discussing the theme. To add them to the processes that are currently happening in the country, we are putting setting ourselves up to understand the legislative framework against which we have been established and formulated policy. And at the same time, those who have gone ahead and walked before us are already reviewing the policy. So we are trying to catch up with both of them. In addition, we are looking at international processes that happen regarding the field of policy, including the cultural center for Africa, which was brought into being in 1976, which we have found to have quite a lot that we have got to focus on as a nation in Africa, which amongst other things, emphasizes the need for respect for rules, respect for principles, tradition, respect for languages, and morals of society. We live in this all together so that we ensure that we look at everything in the complex process of this identity formation. We have, in an attempt to achieve our vision, to contribute to this democratization process and identity formation, we have functions that are listed in the Acts, and we have organized them in a circular way. And we said, because of so much progress, we need to focus more on what people submit to us as complaints and submissions, inviting us to resolve conflicts, inviting us to help them find their identity. And so, first and foremost, we prioritize those in order to move faster and resolve conflicts. And that we call the investigation and conflict resolution. And from that, some, and in fact many of the issues that are raised by people, including the ones that the Chairperson of the Committee and the Philosopher of the Philosopher and the Philosopher of the Church. While we resolve the conflicts in the immediate sense, we refer them to the research component so that we establish exactly where the what people do is one of the principles of law and tradition. And recognizing the fact that we don't have to expect things move in time, things move with being amongst other people and other cultures, then we advise accordingly. So we have a component that uses the fetch so as to revive those traditions and practices. And we hope to be able to fast track this process of the fetch and policy development in order to distribute what we found for public comments, and so that we can educate those who may not know everybody from the various communities. And so, whatever then we produce, we send it back to the community through what we call the public education and advocacy conference. And we engage people in that because we believe we need to debate these issues so that we find consensus positions, because we know that we seldom, if ever, agree on anything, especially the issues around us. So we take this back so that we all can decide and identify those things that we believe as communities believe make their heritage. So we then make the foundation and cornerstones of our identity, and then we can re-socialize and re-socialize our needs so that we are able to then engage and continue the campaigns. We have also moving clockwise to the purple slide, to the purple we build our activity around community and nation because we believe that it is the culture of the people, the relationship of the people, and the languages of the people that we have here to convert and develop. So the community are our first partner. Although we appeal to the Nigerian government for the community, and this is one of the things that came up in the other process. The review process, what is a community? We meet a group of people who live, who share the same thing in our space, or can they cut across, you know, borders and across the country to make cultural, religious, and linguistic communities? Our vision, I've mentioned, it is about constructively contributing to social transformation and nation building. And our mission is about developing equality among the community, the cultural and the community, and giving our history then and our experience, there has been no equality. And also the covering of the indigenous knowledge system, and also developing and setting up an inventory or inventory of the various heritages. We have come up with that plurality in terms that under normal English term would not have a plural, because we recognize our diversity. And that our, we do not have common heritage as a past, but in some instances, we may be talking about heritage because we're there. One other important thing that I said before is that we need to enable communities to expand responsibility and accountability. Because today, we must make sure that their cultures, they are religious, they are not religious from there because they belong to them. So they need that opportunity and we contribute to our thoughts. And we can only do that through intensifying dialogue within community and among communities. And one of the important functions we have is that we monitor the compliance of state and civil society with the mandate of the Federal Rights Commission. And this includes monitoring the policy formulation, the legislative processes, so that the, what the products that come out of those processes are sensitive and responsive to the rights of cultural beliefs of the indigenous communities. And this is not only about those that such as the formulation of the system. We have realized a huge package of policies that are still in place, which dates back decades ago, including the act that, if I may use the same example of slaughtering, that governs the work of FCPA, which is about the welfare. That also we are looking at it closely, and we discovered in that particular case that people confuse welfare with the rights of animals, the right to life. And we have since discovered that, in fact, we are not in conflict with FCPA. FCPA has never said we need no job, but that's talking about the manner in which we slaughter. And it is another group of activists that say we must be refused because they should not kill. We should not kill the lives of animals. That's what we found. And then the first then program that we have is that one that I alluded to earlier, called mediation of inter-community conflicts. And we have discovered that there's also intra-community conflicts because of the history that we have behind us, and that people have different understandings on how things are done in the same community. So it is our role then to mediate those conflicts so that people can live peacefully together, to facilitate harmonious coexistence. We also lobby with government departments and legislative authorities on issues concerning the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. A case in point here is the case of language in education. The Department of Education and the Greek government and the nation as a whole has a very responsive language policy that says everybody has a right to speak their own language. But the thing we covered that this implementation is quite public, and so it doesn't yield the results it was intended to produce. And so we have conducted some research on that, and we have come up with recommendations on how maybe this implementation can better yield to the general society.
I would suggest that we take your place up a little bit so that we spend, you can come back to some of those things when we have questions. So, so I'm afraid they are clear and strong from the approach. But with that kind of interview, that's not right. So, we should have thought that we basically could have done it. So, the basic consultation is that we did.
And then on the first address that is then we deal with the subject that you spoke about. The staff complement on the organogram should be 56. And at the moment we only have 2,400 posts. And which means the position are unfunded. And the field are 17. And the vacant posts amount of funded are 7. And I want to make this point here that we are suffering from a national crisis of high staff turnover. People seem to be moving from one department to another, or from one area to another. for one, for whatever reason, we are also a victim of that. But the point I would like to make here is that the percentage of funded schools are being the total that we would like to have, which is quite from there to which is quite low. And so we are operating under capacity. Under financial resource management, the audit report is attached and is unqualified and yet to mention yet. However, there have been some areas of emphasis, including the movement in internal controls and operating under capacity as a result, not completely separating the roles which is necessary in finance. And this is the result of the high fluctuation that I mentioned, especially in the coaching. And this as a whole, not only in finance, but in the organization as a whole, has a negative effect on the performance of the process. Under investigation and conflict resolution, in the past 2 years, we got quite a lot of submissions. I don't want to say all the complaints, but now at least people seem to understand now that they know us and they know how we operate to understand such constitutes the complaints. We got them about 32 in the year under review. And 12 have been resolved. By resolved, one means at least there was some understanding that was established between the conflicting parties. And the cases still remain in our books because we agree they are not really to be sections of community, but community home. And so we go on as I indicated with the class level. What is interesting is that the highest number of complaints and submissions are of men, and the second highest is culture, and the least is about language. And we're trying to establish why this is the case. And looking at the left line, rural communities are more concerned about culture and religion and less about language, and that is to be understood. Because rural people that have a lot of challenges, it's only in other areas where you find that they are in contact with many other languages, and so then they are more challenging. And also in schools, the issue about the teaching of African languages is a challenge for everyone. Under research, we, as I mentioned, we did this language education, social implementation study, and we realized that the culture system in the language teaching in schools that we may not offer language unless the 33 or 34 learners. It does not, you know, it is not in line with the quality that parents in their lives to pay language. And so we are saying also the medium dual language system is also still confined to English and Afrikaans. We seldom hear a dual system in physical language, in language, in Afrikaans and English. And so that is the issue. And we are making the bold recommendation, and we say maybe the nation should pilot with the roving teacher system that a teacher provides services to a number of neighboring schools, maybe between the schools. There's a serious issue that has come up. People in the north and in pocket challenging the severity in the constitution, which is listed as an official language. We have made a submission to the Constitutional Review Committee saying that we need to be looked at closely because it may have, you know, very serious implications in the language. And people who are saying to get the dialect, instead of all the dialects for another position, that is the challenge. So we have to come to the Constitutional Review Committee. We are looking at sacred spaces, not that we're taking over the work from the Southern Central Church, the Southern Spaces, and the Department of the Knowledge and Technology. These are important because they are closely linked to the communities and to the systems of people. And so we are looking at categories such as burial grounds, because we have quite a lot of convention that we have. Also, we have looked at the issue of religious inequality in the Act of 1994, December, that has 12 holidays, two of which are only days. And then the question is, that the rest of the religion don't have any of their holy names. We are not saying all must be here, otherwise we will never get the country that comes to stand here. But it is an issue that needs to be also, we are looking at rights of passage. Many of them, and specifically we look at death rights, initiation rights, marriage rights, and death rights, R-I-T-E-S. Looking deeper into them, into how people tend to do those things, and to see them, what is their brain, the moral brain of this. Male initiation was a case that we directed through public hearing, and this was motivated by the high rate of rape, death, amputation, force, the male initiation. And I'm happy to share this, that we did this in partnership with the House of Traditional Leaders, the National One, and the Human Rights and the Nation or going recommendation there. And the one is that we need to build capacity in the community structure that must control and manage these practices so that they run into the non-generation community. The recommendations are there on page 9, that there has to be a holistic approach to it. It's not only about that. It is also about the identity of people that male initiation is part of who we are. As I said, community leadership is one witness that we look at, and also the involvement of traditional and government institutions, and also the understanding of the rationale of this practice is very important to the initial stages. Then in public education, we take those through so that we disseminate information, we continue with the dialogue so that as things change with time, people know exactly why something has happened before, are happening now, and should continue that practice. And then community consultation, as I said, is part of the vehicle for us to intensify the work and make better inputs. The role of community councils is important to the second mentioned that, and we are getting our people in the car to move to help them, because they will be our first point of reference and our partners in this regard. We have drafted a regulation in line with the Act that these must be established in a prescribed way, and we are waiting the minister's signature so that they can establish them. The challenge here in terms of resources is that the Act says we may provide funding to community councils. While we look forward to having them in place, also we are anxious and asking ourselves, then what shall we do once they are there? How will we provide them with the capacity to be effective for partners? The Africa Day celebration, we look at this important aspect of minority and majority cultural, religious, and linguistic community rights. And minority and majority to us does not only relate to the number of people, it also relates to minority culture. Maybe in the context of the fact that although some cultures and religions and languages belong to big numbers of people, they have been minority. So if the number then should go in the future with the importance, the greatness of the language in the language. I've spoken about partnership and I've made a specific example. In conclusion, we believe through the few years of our existence, we have built a foundation for us to move forward. And we have begun to understand the issues to deal with and the issues to prioritize. And through these years, including the products of the structural conference, we have quite a lot now to deal with in a better way that we prepare for the second and national consultation conference next July in 2008. We are looking forward and we want to and we will intensify the foundation and the preparation for this through many conferences in the various communities and the various provinces so that people are prepared for the conference so that we look at specific. And the theme for that conference will be their cultural, religious, and linguistic values into transforming South Africa. And this leads to the point I made earlier, to transforming and then what about the cultural, religious, and linguistic values, which form an important part of the democratization process. We have quite a growing database of a community organizations, and some of these may qualify to be community councils. And the establishment and recognition of community councils does not, cancel the process of organizing or helping community organizations into just NGOs. Those are very important points. And then, as I said, the regulations are almost signed and will be proposed by the assignment next week, and then we are looking forward to having this conversation so that we can move
forward. That's the last thing there, which sort of comes with a very specific fact to reach out to the community. And I just in conclusion that the kind of stable affairs to the National Consultation Conference is what we have done here. But the specificity of the request is that one of the major annotations that we will have this current year is to look at the whole area of cultural, religious, and China. And we will request right back to you for a special seminar, since you will be the people who will champion this for us in Parliament in December 2024, to engage each other on cultural charters and on the religious charter for the nation, so that in that conference we will have in July, we then take sort of everybody's insight to the consultation before we bring it back to you to champion for our behalf. I think that's one of the key things that we want to achieve is the chapter of the leisure activities.
And then, now, Lucas, there's a report of the and as I speak, I know why, some of the things just were said in the report. Okay, you're not feeling that.
Thank you very much, Professor. What I want to ask from the CEO, talking about the community cancer. So I just want to find out, is this community cancer, how is it going to work with the traditional cancer that is being established in community communities? I don't know if you know that we have a relationship from the same content or the different content.
Yes, Rose, and then Kekana, the relationship to the student. Welcome, member. Rose Elber is our new member of this program. It's the week of the day. So welcome you to the new one. And this is my meeting talk. President, thank you very much. I take it from the presentation that the commission would be long game is trying to reach out to communities, but up to this point I haven't heard the return on that. A situation where people, instead of complaining, they are campaigning to contribute to what the commission is doing. How is that area being looked at? What does this mean to the commission when people are just complaining, not campaigning to contribute to what the commission is doing? I think let me come back to the later on for just taking the other 2 points that I have.
So, the issue of the land, also we are all aware of how important it is, and I find it a little bit confusing to the people who are not even thinking about the
land.
Yeah, the first one is that, as we know, the research that was done to say that people don't get any land. And the one is that they were throughout Africa, whether it's the day to the Greek colony, French, England, as things have changed with Africa, we have to learn in foreign language. The issue goes to get one of the reasons to try in the city and to the issue of the country. Because usually we use it like this, right? There are universities and universities like this in this kind of and all the developed countries, Germany, France, Portugal, everywhere else, people are in their mother. In fact, in Asia, in the same kind of where they are very present to meet you, Korea, for example, you need a high order for people to know the media only. Now, I'm raising this issue because you said that no one is just learning in teaching family to start to research in order to be part. Oh yeah, the sister is really with Africa with all the things that we do in the kind of Africa. Everybody can read all the books in Africa. People go to Bali to their personal and relationship. Their library is maybe up to 80% of the things that are indigenous. So I'm mentioning this because for me, culture is not something that we can take. As a nation, we go to things, this is the culture we want, this is the practicing students, but unless we want to see them, in fact, we want to see them to be better rather than letting them allow us to have the drink of time, because that's that issue about China. The governor comes and speaks to all those things, because you can hear each other. I mean, if you take racism, for example, I mean, structure is different, the language is different, the idea. The Irish, the Welsh, but they all speak English because they had to unite for a particular purpose. Now they are saying, if you're not interested in that, you drive languages, perfectly, and everything is outside of it. It's not being part of whether you need it or not. To translate short video and times it covers, then you've got to translate into Kanadi data, who is still together. At schools to make sure that people are not familiar. That's the third point that we can't speak to what is to be. We should be to realize the truth of Africa. I mean, other nations were united. Ours was still to be united, especially in Africa, to fight for culture. Now, the question is, are we not supposed to try to be united to the identity? That's the benefit that good belief is we see the sermon there, and I think it's for me that we should be able to do that. But I think that if you don't make sure that it's for the spirit where they can do this. Why? Because after the end, if you manage to survive by the things that you like to do, you like to do that. But because the economy is run by taking this first economy, everybody was, unless it was a small economy, it's not a lot of it, and I mean, it's not a planet. If you look at third world economy, third economy, big companies and so on, you like it or not, you want to attract the third economies because otherwise you don't go to the third. So the really for me, the very biggest challenge in the world of the economy is that as long as in Africa, economies are run by somebody, the issue of language is going to be very discussed. Because it isn't language for language's sake. Language is the main term and the matter you can keep it. So the big challenge, you see, generally they can learn in German because the economies are companies, they do business in fact. The same applies to other things, France, Italy, and so on. But in Africa, whether you want to do strictly,
Ndebele. But the next question becomes, because Ndebele hardly have a single company in this country. I just get worried that that whole Ndebele is going to be wasted, because ultimately they are going to be rendered unemployable. I'm just saying those are the big challenges. Either we run the economies, or the economies are going to dictate to us, even our culture. Thanks.
Interesting one. I have different impulses, but we will engage with that before they respond. Any other question? Come, let them should meet yourself.
Hello, thank you, Chaperson.
Yeah.
Chaperson, I'm going to make comments as if it's my first day here. I just want to hear even from the department. I have this little understanding that commissions are commissions. In the general understanding, whereby you are given terms of reference to do something. Now I'm raising this against the independence of Chapter 9 as a principle. And I'm not saying this is a fallacy, Chairperson, but this is a challenge in my own understanding, my own analysis. I see this committee really doing things in the dark. One in that, I would imagine a commission that will be given a budget without prescriptions. I ask myself, how do they cost whatever they have to do, even work out to their workplace? Chaperson, if one were to practicalize in a very simplistic way, I will see, for instance, the president in terms of all issues that relate to it and the commission, that if there is a task, there will be a project that will be costed. Because I was asking myself about key performance indicators too. How do you measure its performance, except itself justifying or trying to prove your worth, you know, trying to convince the world about your own existence. I think something is wrong, and even if one was to compare it to the other chapter 9, but I'm confining myself to this. I think that's one area that the department, I would like to hear at a later stage. What role is the department and other departments? We have the Department of Education, and I'll say things loosely, Chaperson, so that we are then able to concretize them. For instance, they have an educative role, but educating a community is different to the Department of Education, whether from a constitutional education. But there are departments and institutions, including GCIS and many others, that they have a duty to the group communities. The issue of diversity. Now, you know, that reminded me of the about money and the employment and the working of energy ratio. We have this contract, which I'm not sure anyone has just confirmed them. But here, the issue that was reported to, in terms of their linkage to libraries of this country, in terms of community and outreach. Hence, I was supposed that if they are then will be merged with or fall under agriculture, they will be better placed. But I'm very happy. There are many other areas of their responsibility that are still a challenge even to those who are responsible for the constitution of this country. But whether we are politicians or whatever, we are not yet at a stage where we are able to identify even whatever we are doing. We only say this is a democracy in transition because we are moving towards that. Now, Chairman, I was just making that statement because that would really maybe lay the foundation towards the next phase when we engage on their mandate. But I have a problem. Coming to then the allocation, can you just hear further as to the history of your audit committees and everything? Because I didn't even want to ask that question, that how do you let someone account on a blank check, whether it was a blank check or you're giving him money but without prescriptions as to what is it that? The issue of targeted areas, for instance, that if you say you have done enough, how much is enough of 12 because South Africa's geographic in Jerusalem? So I'm not complicating this thing, but I think I'm trying to give the chairperson of the commission an opportunity to construct a response that would formulate the basis. I've tried to look into even whatever things we have been asking, even the resolutions we have taken. But I think it's time that now we do direct to what is expected of it, even if a 2 million whatever has been added. You have to link any adjustment with a particular responsibility so that you are then able to say, this is how we measure ourselves, Chairperson. I will come back later, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Yeah, long time. I had my hand up. Jack, thank you very much. I would first just ask around the financial and the staff matters. There's still a lot of vacancies, but your recruitment costs is down. So it looks as if you're not recruiting the people. But one would expect that there would be an increase in the recruitment cost to get those positions filled. So I would just like to hear about on the staff. But the entertainment is up 5 times, the entertainment costs. Can you just speak to that also? And whether there's a performance management system in place for the staff? And with this also is a question for me, your relationship with the department. Do you get any assistance there around your staff and your finances and filling of the vacancies? Then a second question I would like to ask is around your turnover periods of complaints. I mean, there is an increase of that you've dealt with complaints, but the question is, does it get the necessary attention in time? How many have been solved in this year that has already been lodged last year? Then it wasn't very clear to me from the presentation, were provincial conferences organized or are you planning to do that? And what can you tell us about more events that you can do to further the aim? It seems to me there were a few workshops and media exposure and so on, but events to really promote among the different language and cultural groups what is necessary. And just then lastly, do you do to establish community councils? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is just to try and find out as to say, when it comes to the slide that says there were some complaints resolved and what that's now what I'm after, Chairperson, is the type, because the type of complaints are not specified. To say people are complaining of 1, 2, 3, 4 and we resolved it in this manner. Now we do not know what actually was the main complaint of the community. Now, for me, Chairperson, I've got three things here that I want to know if the commission is ready about, or has already got a complaint about, or are they ready to can resolve that if it comes up. One second thing is this thing of the initiation school. The initiation school is a cultural issue of a certain tribe or tribes of the Khotla Sidi name. And we can see nowadays that when we grew up, this initiation school was conducted, you know, in a manner that you didn't even realize that there was such a thing somewhere. But nowadays, my children, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, go there without the parents' consent. Then it is said, but who is? That's John. And how to they say, oh, there's no way when you can be turned back, because you have already put your feet on the premises of those people. Now, as a parent, you do not afford and you are not ready to can take your child there. And it is very expensive to take a child through there. And when it seems as if you are going to fail to can do that, then there's an issue from the head of that initiation school. Now, can maybe the commission try and dwell into this thing so that they can rectify the manner in which it is run, so that my child cannot go there without me, the parent, being consulted by the head of the school? Because I'm the one who's going to pay at last. And at the same initiation school, Chairperson, there's children are dying there nowadays. Children are dying there. Well, what does the commission say about that? So many deaths are being reported from there. Is the commission ready to can maybe tackle that so that everything must come to normal? And then the second one, Chairperson. Then, I belong to two traditions. I'm a Zona by birth, but was married by Zulu at a very early age. So I have inherited the Zulu culture. In Zulu, we've got daughters. And when our daughters get married, you must be sure of the status of your child, in order for some certain things to be agreed, for some certain agreements. Now, in order to be sure, there is a virginity testing in our culture. Now, there is this thing of saying, it's my right not to agree to be tested. For the virginity testing, the right of my 14-year-old daughter or my 16-year-old daughter to agree to that. But at the same time, it is my right for me to know, so that when I make arrangements, and when I make agreements for her, maybe to be married, I must know the status. How where is the commission about that to help us? Because it is a contradiction between the in-laws, myself, and my daughter. My daughter doesn't want to go to the unity testing. The in-laws want to know the health status, and they must pay the labola for us. And it's not the same rate. The labola is not the same rate. If I make a vision, they can give me free chapter. But if I make a vision, it's my tradition, I'm used to it. I cannot run away from it. And then the last one, Chaperson. The system of maturity. You know, when a girl child matures at the age of 12, 18, then the breast starts becoming big. But you see that this child is only 12 years, but the breast is so big. Then, in Setswana, we feel a masole out, we shoot it out, just one. Now, today, the children don't want that. It's my right not to be done that. It is my privacy. You shall not do that to me. How far is the commission in? Have they ever had such complaints? Thank you, Chair.
Putting Kumuma the Kumuma. I don't envy you, Dr. Guma, and your team. But also the members who are speaking who draw up laws that must deal with those issues. So these are the implications on the Children's Act and what we say about these issues that you're talking about. Yes. It's in the legislation. Yeah, Dr. Gensler. Any other question? Can I just raise a couple of more? Yes.
I was going to ask if you could hold that and just take this.
Okay.
And then you raise it.
Okay.
So that in case we didn't answer properly.
Okay.
Then we can improve this news.
Okay. It's all right. Go ahead.
If you can,
that's right. I'll take 1 second. It's okay.
In fact, the last point, as you've correctly pointed out, and was also raised by Mr. Mshutul, raises a very interesting issue. Whether, in fact, as legislatures, when you are considering laws, you do have a conversation with us. Just at the level of creating horizontal bridges, the problem we have with government, to answer both of you at the same time, is that we tend to operate as silos. Even if an obvious thing, for instance, we are talking about initiation schools and the need to create a safe environment for those initiation schools. Invariably, that means we must talk to municipalities, but the question is, does DLG see that as a responsibility of theirs to talk to us, to approach mayors so that they have a mindset that actually creates a safe environment for the children who go to initiation schools? So we have that problem where people tend to talk to themselves. The children's bill Act has been brought to us by some people. The basic complaint is that legislature seems to separate families and look at people as individuals. And so, again, in terms of the larger conversation, it's not just passing the act, but are we able, in passing the laws or whatever else, to maintain what the Constitution has, the values? And in this instance, it was the issue of family values. And to what extent do then parents feel immobilized by what they perceive, rightly or wrongly, as a legislation that disempowers them, and then precipitates an up-and-down relationship between them and their child? In other words, it would be unfortunate if children suddenly see their parents as not representing their best interests. And then we confirm that by law that no parents are incapable of representing the best interests of children, and therefore we must force them by law to do certain things. Because what then it does is that it creates a disintegration of a family. Now, a family is a unit. It doesn't matter whether we are looking at a nuclear or a extended family. And so I take the point that Mr. Shukin was raising, because taking to the next level, part of the responsibility of this commission is to create conservation movements in the nation. That's part of our task that is different from the Human Rights Commission. That is not only dealing with the complaint as it stands, but it is also saying, in terms of this complaint, how do we create a conversation so that one person might win at the end of the day with a particular complaint, but then the person might be negatively impacted in terms of community living. We have a case that we mediated between a community in Mashamba, in Limpopo, and then ZCC, where we actually had to go as far as having an audience with Bishop Nkhabiyam, because we realized that the court outcome will not solve their case. So, and that also takes us to the issue of culture. Now, the whole thing about language and the appropriate language to teach and so on and so on, at one level, I think we can leave that to the wisdom of the people with the Department of Education. But the reality that we are dealing with, and that I think this nation has opted for, is that one, it has recognized that there are certain cultures and languages that have been purposefully eroded. And therefore they are saying, whatever it takes, we need to create space to have those cultures encouraged to grow. So that it's not just letting them to the devices of communities. And how to open the state then, enable and create an enabling environment for those languages and those cultures to emerge. But what it says, just in terms of teaching, as the CEO insinuated, it calls on us to find a way to do things not as usual. The new way we can hope to teach all these languages in our schools, the same format that we used when we were doing before. So there's a need then for creativity there that we really need to be able to take up. I'll leave the answer about the versions to my colleagues. And the issue about the relationship between complaining and resolving, and because just to say the thing about KPIs, one of the things you will remember I suggested 2 years ago is that we need to have at least once a year with somebody out there in government, broadly speaking. And I think I acknowledge it when we had the one day conversation here in Parliament, that we need to have a democracy round table in this country where we assess and do an inventory. How far have we gone? Not because I'm complaining against what one person is doing or what another person is not doing, but to recognize that we are all part of the same goal with the responsibility to advance democracy. And how do we then create a space for us to equally, not in a negative way, assess and evaluate ourselves in terms of performance, some of the key areas that we need really are urgent and they need to be attended immediately.
To respond to the question of language, its teaching, and our performance as a country, given the international experience, I almost hear the contradiction in what Ntateke Kana was saying. He may have intended it, because on the one hand, he points out countries that have used mother tongue and they are successful. Okay? But then says that with us it's going to be a problem, because we've got, I guess, 11. Okay? That might well be the case, but what I want you to do is to respond to that and give us your view about that issue. In fact, you see the conflict between undoing the impact of subjugation has implications for language and language stuff, and the assumed dominance of any one of the languages
is not a permanent feature. And to operate on the assumption that it will continually be dominant is an incorrect perspective, in my opinion. And therefore, given the 11 languages that we have, what room is there for African countries to run their matters in African languages? Okay, predominantly the languages that are spoken in those countries. Because I think that's what we should, we need to address. If you are the and also not to apply it across the board. In other words, from crèche to university, you can't apply the same instrument and approach to language. So that, I just wanted to hear your response to what you are saying, essentially. Yeah. Yes, you could.
Yeah, that's also one of the things you can say.
On the language issue, eh?
Yeah, it has to do with culture.
Yeah. No, let's focus on language, because when we come back, we'll get another opportunity quick. Mm. On language, yeah.
any solution that is preferred in any country is in relation to how it understands its problems. Now, I think the first thing and which we have actually collectively agreed upon is that there has been an imposed, to use your words, an imposed disadvantage on a number of languages and cultures. And we have committed ourselves that we need to have room to create and for the growth of those languages. That is first and foremost.
Yeah.
The argument that it can only happen in English is the hegemony language. In other words, as it was pointed out, Denmark, China, you can go through all the countries, they've been able to catch up with development and technology in their own languages. It is only to the extent that nations are willing to invest both money and resources to the development of that language. I must say, at a personal level, I was, in the mid-70s, I was surprised to see that, in fact, the African nuclear scientists who has learned in Afrikaans. And the issue then is that that's an example for all of us that we need to develop our languages to that level. So that's the first point. And the second point is this, in developing indigenous languages in the country and producing the necessary books, materials to access knowledge in those languages. As a nation, as we grow, we begin to define who we are. And that then takes us possibly to what I like to call the Nyerere solution, in which we begin then to look at whether in South Africa, linguists have said, why don't we aggregate the languages? The many languages, we aggregate them and we produce knowledge in that. The single languages, we aggregate them and we produce knowledge so that it's not for each and every language, because tomorrow, Amapaka, let's say, or Amapondo will say, you must then make Isimpondo the 14th official language, and so on and so on.
Yeah.
But that's not where the solution lies. The solution lies with them saying, how do we then create material?
Okay.
Now, the question is, do we produce people who are capable of doing that?
Yeah.
Because language is an invention, I mean, however we want to look at it.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Let's. Okay. Yes. And then you respond to the rest of the questions and ask others so that we must manage our time.
Sure.
Where's the
wind? Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Chair, thank you. I just want to enlarge on that a little bit. What the honourable member said about the language situation is 100% correct. What we find is, I think you all know that the school governing bodies have been given the right to choose the language that they would use at the schools. Now, the school governing bodies, for the reasons elaborated by the honourable member, have chosen English because they believe it's the financial language. Now, we can't go around as a commission telling every school governing body that they're out of order. And the role I see for us is the education of those parents to the importance of mother tongue language, not only in a financial context, Chairperson, but also in a social context. Children are not able to speak to their grandparents because their grandparents don't speak English. And how do we encourage families to keep the social content going while also concentrating on the finances? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Chair.
I won't go into the mother tongue learning and teaching, but I think there was one other confusion, that there's an issue about teaching a language as a subject, and there's the other side, using a language as a medium of instruction. And I think as a nation, we tend to put those in the same bone, and then we lose focus. And we also have another challenge as an African nation in the making, that while we talk about mother tongue, very soon we'll have to talk about father tongue, given our cultures. And the values that people have. The issue here is, which is something that as a commission we need to focus on and we've set it, is that the families and communities themselves put value in their identity and their languages, so that they don't run with the right side of things of our constitution, that I can decide to be English speaking if I like. The issue of, I'm not taking the question that was directed to the department, the issue of audit committees and internal audits, and including the external auditing of an institution that receives a transfer fund, I think it's a challenge for Treasury. We get a transfer fund, they are responsible for the money they gave to us. We are also responsible, but the challenge or the demand that we have all these structures that are quite costly and that we have to monitor in a specific way is also some other kind, one may argue, a double dipping. But it's quite good because it keeps one on one's toes, but it eats into the budgets of the people who may not have had that allowance to provide for that. On the financial and staff matters, the recruitment, there's a turnaround time, as you know, in recruiting, shortlisting, interviewing, and also there's the issue of getting what you are looking for. You know, this is a field that is that you find the scarce resources for it. There are many people who are educated and learned out there, but you know it's so difficult. We often find ourselves having to re-advertise because we're not finding the people, and when you do find, they don't stay. So we have spent less because we've advertised only once, and then we tend to advertise also in block because also of the staff incapacity limitations, that even for that recruitment, the whole process, you need people to do it internally. The entertainment, yes, it's higher. The entertainment there is not about having tea when you have a meeting or whatever. We account for that item for all activities, including activities such as the big one of Africa Day, Africa Human Rights Day. So it's all inclusive. It's the term, I think, that is inviting that question. The performance management system of staff, it has recently been approved, and very soon now we are tightening that up. In fact, it's one of the focuses of the institution that has got to happen and be done correctly, so that we also improve the quality of delivery and keep people accountable for what they do.
And incentives for good performance.
Yes, and incentives for a good performance is part of that included. The turnover time for complaints and submissions, the acknowledgement and the interaction with the complainant and the defendant in terms of the procedure that we have in place is 30 days. And we are quite optimistic that we'll be able to close a case in 90 days. But we don't use that term, close a case, because we don't see ourselves as a court or a following a legal system in strict terms. Our cases, in fact, when we say it's closed, it means it doesn't belong to us, it has been referred. As I said, it's a whole cycle that we follow. And, you know, sometimes we say it's closed because the two parties at least are talking to each other and they have become part of us. And then we spread it out to a broader community and the nation. So they remain open because we keep on going back to it. If I may leave that question to the question about the list of complaints, we have it there. They can form their own book, and issues keep on, you know, sprouting out of each of the cases. They are there, and we did not include them in the report. Examples are the one I mentioned, which is common in farm areas. That one of limited access or no access to graves and burial grounds as people feel like to perform their rituals and all. I'm happy to say that one is sort of almost closed in a particular case, because the farmer and the community that lives there, or even if some people are not living there, whose graves are in the farm, have reached an agreement that they are signing a memorandum of understanding, but then there must be guidelines on when, on what occasions they would like to go in there. And we're using that then as an example. We have a similar case in Port Alfred. We'll use this one and the mediation process that we went into. There's another one, that one of religion in education, which is quite challenging. And it's challenging because even parents have a high expectation that if they want their children to know, understand, and practice their religion, it will be the responsibility of the school to teach it. But what is the role of the parent and the home and the community? So that's why our focus has got to be more about community capacity to do what they believe is their culture, religion, and language. You've spoken about that. I've forgotten what the question was.
In fact, we undertook community provincial consultations on that, and we've actually come up with, again generated by communities, we've actually come up with a code of conduct about if you want to set up a mupato, what are the things that you need to do? And that includes that conversation. And we feel, actually suggested to the people in terms of that specific reason we are making, that they should have an anteroom in which they receive the young boys, and then sort out all the other parental, medical issues that before they take them in Horum. They must have an anteroom. The problem has been that the accounts who get 50 rand per child, because if you take the vial, you find that they compete, that I had 50 boys and the other one I had 20. So on the one hand, you get somebody who sends out touts. On the other hand, you get me sending police to another rampartor's place, so that then he gets disgraced, you see, and people will not go back to him. So there are those also community rivals. But we have actually done that, and we went last month to test the recommendations with the National House of Traditional Leaders of the Eastern Cape. so that we can then finalize the report. And I'm happy to say the report is ready, and then for the next 2 or 3 months, we will then be going to different provinces to engage with communities on that. Both the report and the code of conduct on what constitutes a proper mupato or koma or whatever it is called in different places. We've actually done that. And of course, we've also discovered, just an aside, that in fact, as more we talk about it, then you get people from communities calling us to help them with specific issues. Where do I get a doctor? Where do I get a place to put the children, and so on and so on? Can you talk to the Department of Health on our behalf, because we need ABCD?
Can I make a small follow-up on the
All of that is there, yeah.
I want to run this meeting as openly as possible with temples. The day you do one day today is a follow-up issue.
Okay.
Well, just wait, hold it for a little while. You will get a chance. We've got we must finish at 11. You get a second round now. Let them finish quickly. The number of questions that you asked earlier on that they must finish. I don't know it's why they were. So then we must give you an opportunity for 10 minutes to go back to you.
There were two questions. The first two, in fact, about traditional councils and community councils.
Mm-hmm.
That we have begun to engage with the already existing councils to make sure that in rationalizing, if need be, we do not lose focus. We are focusing on religious, cultural, and linguistic rights, and they may be focusing on something else. How can we then, if need be, integrate those without, you know, eliminating, ignoring the focus of either of the two? Because again, we are conscious of the fact that having so many named the same way may be confusing. And, you know, it may not yield the results that the two may have had. I think our closer relationship with community leaders, including the chiefs, will help us do this in the best possible way. About the returns and a quick move from complaining to campaigning, I'm sure we will get there, because, as I said, what we aim for, first of all, is to resolve conflict between, it's usually individuals, two people in a community, and then to have them on our side and broaden and evangelize in the community so that there's a common understanding without pushing any agenda. I think it's important. And as I said, you know, we might think we know our cultures, all of us. And we find that most of the time, you know, as it would be expected, culture, religion, and language are contested areas. People, even in your family, seldom agree. That's why you'll find that if there's any do or ritual or something that's going to happen, that family continues going through it, and the steps that they will take it's an attempt to avoid any conflict that if you did it the wrong way, it will not do what it's supposed to do, because that's the writing process of traditional communities. And then if then you write it down on paper, what challenges do we face? So the consultation needs to be vigorous, and it needs to be participative, and it needs to involve as many people as possible. With 48-50 million people whom we want to see as communities, that's a tall road, but that's what we aspire for.
Okay, I'll cover all the questions.
I think so.
Can I just address the very good question that came from our learned friend here, our honourable member? Commissioned for what? It's a very important question. If you look at the mandate, it actually can be summed up in one word.
And that word is nation building. Now, how we were to do that was entirely left to us, honorable member, because there are gender commissions around the world, there are human rights commissions around the world, but you have to remember that we were the very first commission anyway that dealt with religion, language, and culture. And so we really were pioneers. So your question was very much appreciated because we had to interpret that. What were we commissioned for? Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, please. Now, it's one heavily loaded question, sir. Sir, I happen to have been brought up by my grandfather. I want to show a generation challenge. You see, I have a problem, and even at the time when I was at East School, I was dealing with induction. You know, and Professor Sulash is here, so first thing, I'm going to say something here. I heard of you when I was a young worker that Inkosi Zethu sold out to the nation. You know, they had a program where you show the initiation process through an orientation program. When I grew up with him now, doing Inkosi, I knew one thing, that there are certain things you cannot advertise nationally. And I'm saying this because the problem is with other nations, it is not done here in this country. There's this assumption that whatever you see on TV is what takes place within Amakosa or within Amazon. But the other cultures, you don't see it. The issue of, and hence I say, because we could knowing that you need to even come closer with your cameras to the area, but they even go beyond the level. I think that is an instance. Now, I'm saying this to you, Arifi, because you see, we get them confused when we go in terms of the culture, yeah, well, because it is those very custodians who have to say, this is the preserve. Coming to the very same thing. So, this is, things that relate to women in Kosa are not for men. And don't even, don't have to know, because grannies are there and there. So I have this problem, and I'm raising that as a challenge in terms of your programs and how you communicate to the responsible people. Well, this is an embarrassment, because there was a case 2-3 weeks back in the media of a 4-year child who tried to circumcise a 3-year wife they were playing. I'm sure you picked that up. And that issue, under number 4 years, because Lady Diana was sugar. You see? So I'm saying these are things that are really insults, and I don't see us going forward. See? Thank you.
And thank you very much, Mr. Shibin, for what you have just said. What is, let's say, let me say on a very, very serious note, we are staying in commerce. A few places from us is the boundary of the Eastern Cape and the Free Trade. We are Zulus. This is not our tradition, it's the cause of tradition. But the thousands of our children are crossing over. Now, when the child comes from there, he wants to implement what he got there. I mean, it's not our business. You see? So, how do you take on these borders? How do you make these traditional leaders to know that when the child is still young, it is my responsibility? But if he is a married man, he can now go there. Because it is his own responsibility. You see? You fight until you get to the extent that the person is saying. And we do not want to know that because we grew up not knowing those things. They are going to achieve. So now, the second one, still on the Mohato issue. If you make an agreement that I was asking Chief, if my child is 14 years and he is in that interrogation room that you were saying, in the conception, where they sort out, then I must go and fill up your form that now as Mrs. Kumeta, I agree. Because I'm going to pay. The responsibility of that child lies on me, 100%. If I say no, it's no. If I say no, I'm not going to pay for that. See? And if I say no, I'm not going to pay for that, then you say no, we'll do it free for the child. Now, what about, because you cannot go to the initiation school for granted. There is a purpose. There must be a purpose. Then it's a waste of time and money if you just go. Because it's a secret of there. Now, when my child comes from there, with that secret, if the child becomes, because it is not his tradition, that's my sister's child. Really, it's very serious. So can this commission help us, please, for these things not to go further? Because we'll be insulting people in the long run, and it will not be right.
Okay, Mamji, thanks. Kakami?
Yeah.
Please don't follow both of them. They didn't create a group president. Yeah. Be brief.
Well, Lucia, I think it's a big question about circumcision. But the principles, I mean, all the things are the purpose. Now, I'm just worried about the purpose. My understanding is that it's something that
the surgical thing. It is very important. Nyerere has written about it and many other leaders in Africa. The most important in my understanding was the cross content, where a teenager is taught how to behave in the community. That is why in the rural areas, though they are poorer than us in the urban area, there was no crime because people were taught that initially. That's why when you did wrong things, you were taught this is because you haven't gone to the school. Up until you go, then you are taught sexual matters that you don't touch a woman until you are married and the way to marry, you go through your parents and so on. And secondly, about general conduct of teenagers in the community, that's why they treat them at a certain age. When your eyes are starting to open, they take you there because you've got to know how to conduct yourself. In fact, Nyerere says, while today eligible people are 18 years to vote, according to African culture, the person who sits at the crown was the one who comes from circumcision school. That was the eligibility, because then you are allowed to sit at the crown and debate with men, listen to them, and vote if there's a vote there. Now, I'm saying that for me is the most important thing. And I wonder if the commission is monitoring that. I don't know whether it needs to be reviewed for curriculum, because the truth is, things have changed. You can't keep a secret. Satellite show everything. America, no. Things have changed. And our constitution say transparency. I'm saying the biggest challenge is that we do that as a very good practice in the past. But really, things have changed. We need to review and update so that you can still find it used in the modern day sense.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. What I want to find out is with regard to the rights, this is the right. The slaughtering of cattle, we need to perform our traditional way of doing things. And I just want to know as to whether, because the CEO and the Chairperson mentioned that they are not actually differing with the SPCA. But the problem is that the SPCA is complaining about the means, the how, the cow is, the bull is slaughtered. So I just want to find out if they are not actually trying to stop us from practicing that. How do they want us to slaughter or to perform our traditional practice in that regard? raising complex issues that you expect them to comment on. But I just want to defend the traditional leaders. They intervened with SABC. The SABC had to apologize for that. They've been active in precisely what you're talking about, trying to maintain some semblance of the old order. Dekan is right. Things have changed dramatically. You see, what used to be an environment of homogeneity, in which you wouldn't do things because your elders were there, your peers were there, is non-existent, because I go across to the next community where none of these guys I was there with are not there. So I can do other things. So the fragmentation that the society in which we are living is making those conditions very difficult. So I really wish you all the luck that you have in the world to try and manage a very difficult situation. So some of the things that frustrate us is really that nostalgia. How we will succeed in dealing with it differently is a challenge that remains because of those changing conditions. I just want to ask that there are a couple of minutes. Your question, your response to the audit committee query is, I want to, the thing that you say here, it's an outsourced internal audit. I'm not familiar with these things. It's a strange idea to outsource an internal audit. Sorry? Yes, what does the law say about that? But also, the audit committee here in your report was not satisfied, has not satisfied itself with your monthly report and stuff like that. Can you explain that? What is the reason for that? And but also, even if you say that it creates an expense because the money comes from another entity, it still doesn't explain what we would like to hear about what you are doing about it. It's a establishment, and you're working with Treasury, who gives money for that, and your own prioritization, because if you don't prioritize that, it means your audit will be a bad one if you don't prioritize it. So those are the questions that we would like to hear you respond on. And you see, in matters of emphasis there, there's a reference to insufficient internal controls. And so the time frames within which this thing was done. We just talk about that quickly. And what I would have loved to have heard from you, Dr. Kuma, we would have loved to hear your opinion on the three options that you mentioned. What your interest as a commission? You reflected on it, obviously. What is your general? We are not asking you for a decision, just your inclination. This is our evaluation of these proposals for location under art and culture, which is your general inclination, and so on. Just to give us a sense of what you are thinking about. We haven't looked at the ASMAL proposals as a committee. We made use of some state and so on, but for now we thought that's what you definitely would be interested in talking about. And the resources for the work that you are doing. You see, part of the comment from the MCDU, I seem to hear him saying, this is what the commission was set up to do, but are they resourced appropriately to carry out what the commission is to do? I seem to hear that. And this relationship institutionally is important because it speaks to those questions indirectly as well. But that's the sort of issues that we'd like to hear from you. Whether it's working. My final comment is, you see, on the us working in silos, when you see as a commission that the Department of Social Development is talking about the Children's Act, and there are provisions there that speaks about this custom and that other, why do you have to wait for anybody to invite you? It's in the realm of your responsibility. You need permission from nobody. It's a nation building issue. The king of the Zulu says nobody will tell us about this, our culture. Okay? And so on. So what I'm saying, in principle you are right that there are often a fragmented approach to policy development. But the responsibility is both ways. In other words, from the initiators, but also from those in whose terrain that area is, not to wait for an invitation. They can't stand on anyone's lip to ignore your submission. They, in fact, thank you for having come across. And so, what's the level of your vigilance as a commission to assess what's going into the system here, and therefore be able to step in and make the appropriate input? Do you have, are you organizationally so designed to be able to pick up that stuff? This is both, I mean, in terms of policy development here, because of the impact it may have on the work that you are trying to deal with, and so on. Because I found your comments about the conflict of individual and collective rights a very interesting one. Our constitution has both. It has both collective and individual rights. We are not liberal, some of us. We come from a very collective way of doing things and so on. And so, but it also has this individual rights. So to the extent that they conflict in the family, it's an interesting observation we are making, and saying that perhaps if we had spoken together, we could have come up with a different solution. And those are the issues that I would like to just to make one or two comments and so on. Yes. Mamji?
You know, sir, as we are talking, somewhere we are touching department. All the departments, everybody is a Christian. Now, under which department does religion fall?
No. You're not.
I'm asking.
No, religion has got no. There's no department that deals with that issue. This commission looks at issues of religious nature, rights, and so on and so
on. I want to know, because you know the churches are concerned to say the department is sponsoring schools, hospitals, everything, but not religion. You see, this is why I'm asking, because my church,
yes,
wants to come to ask to say, because I'm having more than a number of 1,000 communities within my church. How does the
company help me? No, it doesn't. That's your congregational responsibility, whether you are a Christian, whether you are a Muslim, so yes, no. It's absolutely not the business of government. That one's not ours. I can answer that one. Dr. Duba. I'm also biased, that's why I'm answering it. Yes, let's do this now. Okay, can we just get quick answers? And then I'm told tea is ready.
Yeah.
Is this fresh tea? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just respond, then we'll have tea. Have a briefer, and then allow the demarcation box to come in. Perhaps before the professor's button, you might want to say something? And your tea? No, after they have responded. You don't have to. I'm just arranging the question here. Go ahead and in the meantime, while they are thinking, they'll tell us when they're ready.
Yeah, on outsourcing internal audit, the law allows for that, Chair. And we had to do this immediately, in fact, when there was one staff member. And because it was a switch. Then let me finish just what I started. The law allows for outsourcing internal audit function. And for us, even though we had an even thought of having it internally, we had to prioritize setting up the staff component, and then maybe we'll reconsider if there are pros and cons, but the law allows for that. The new audit committee, what it's saying here is that you may have noticed that in the beginning of that section 7, that we had changed an audit committee midstream. And what they are saying is that it has not satisfied, maybe not yet gone into it, because they came into being just at the end of the year. That's what it's saying. So it's getting into the details of the going-ons of the organization. That's what they mean. They are looking into the things. In fact, we are having more regular meetings with them to get them into understanding what is happening in the organization. And I must say that we have a very vigilant group of members of our audit committee, and we are hoping that things will improve very soon. Yes, the part of internal controls, I think I did allude to it. It's a result of the lack of separation, so that there's objectivity and checking of one another that things have happened, and they tend to happen in the same center, and that is a result of the limited capacity in the organization. You mentioned the staff turnover, and I mentioned only that I think it's a national issue. People are moving, but it may also be that there is an overload of work. We are small as an organization, and we become even smaller once one leaves, and then people carry much more than they can possibly cope with. And we have actually taken this up. The commission set up a committee to look into whether there are other, hidden issues, and a report has just been completed, and we'll be acting on it to make sure that we stabilize. We call it a sub-stabilization a committee or process, and we felt it was necessary to do this as we recruit more people, because sometimes this becomes a culture in an institution. So we are finding ways of stabilizing the staff in the organization.
Just to say that it has been a matter of concern to all of us, the issue of staff turnover, and we actually did set up a staff stabilization committee, which just at our last dinner presented its report and recommendations in ways of just making sure to set up proper systems that would be linked to the whole process of incentives for staff. You will remember that, in fact, earlier on when we started off, many of the staff who were employed were not properly integrated into the government system, and many of the people we have would be moving from one department to us. And the question is, how do we facilitate that transition for those people in terms of pensions and all the other necessary benefits that people carry as they go around. Honourable Member Mshutulu did raise that with DPLG, that they should take a greater responsibility to help us integrate those financial processes, so that there's no disjuncture and a break from staff who move from one government department to ourselves, and then move from ourselves to them, because it is natural factor in the act that people could remain in the government pension system, but we have not been able to actually do that in a way that would be satisfactory to all concerned. but we are, as I said, in the process of consolidating all of that now to just make sure that those systems are in place, incentives for people, for bonuses and so on are in place, because also we didn't have that before as a practical example. So the committee brought very interesting recommendations, and we'll be acting on those and integrate them into our strategic planning system. It's difficult to comment on the Kada Asmal recommendations because of two reasons. The first reason is that there's that whole debate about independence and what independence constitutes. Whether being in DPLG or Asian culture answers to that independence or not. Or how, in fact, as the other part of the question was said, that does it enhance the capacity to deliver wherever we are?
Just give us your opinion whether Asmal has it in his options or not. You may not have had it there, but you may have a view about this situation. You think that you must make the resource best?
They have the department, Professor Duarte, and his team, and the minister, and Asmal. So we eat. We'll buy the pensioners. We'll know where you stand. Now, we don't know, and we don't know where to support you or to reject your views. So don't be diplomatic. It's important. And you know what? I get hit by a car tomorrow, I die, and I never knew your views. What up with your head today? So,
I think the issue here is that on three levels. Again, the first level, I think it's premature to raise the discussion of integrating the institutions. There hasn't been sufficient run to do a proper assessment and evaluation. Why? We need, we were talking about the KPIs of these commissions. In fact, you will then discover, as you probably know, Chairperson, that in fact, even when the commission was formed, you know, way back, Cordesa and those conversations, people were not united in their view why we needed the commission. And I must confess, I mean, on our part, I don't think we have had sufficient run to ease those differences. Some people still talk about community rights, some people still talk about cultural rights, religious rights, and so on. Some people think that we are a religious onward Christian soldiers commission, and so there's still a need, I think, to revisit the mandate first, you know, the operational context. So the last one is probably not... The second one, with regards to placement, our preferred choice is if Parliament could find a way to put all these commissions together in terms of accountability and line functions, and look at possibilities of setting up a special committee that would have specific purpose of dealing with all Chapter 9 commissions, because as you find now, we have different positions that we do. As a personal experience, I mean, as I was saying earlier, it is a fact I talk more to the Department of Arts and Culture than I talk to DPLG. I was part of a process at Arts and Culture to review their laws, to review the whole landscape and legislative framework. And so, in my mind, I'm more okay with the details of the... And I think that with regards to PANSAF, I think it's a question of a relationship, Mr. Chair. We have different paths. PANSAF is doing a very good undertaking of developing languages and some big words I can't use now, but you know, the thing we're talking about on how to access language. And our grade is just to say people have a right to absorb Panthap to ourselves. They will, that very important task will get undertaken, I mean not undertaken, but absorbed into the internal politics of Afrikaners and Khoisan and all of that, and I think it will soon be lost and will produce less, what's the big word you use now, lexicographies? Lexicographies and all of those things. Okay. That will suffer.
Well, thank you very much. I suggest that we have a short break, but before we do that, I would like to explicitly request to undertake